Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire, being joined, as usual, by my mutual host, Mr. Ronald Mann. Today is kind of a tremendous show for us because I've had some of the greatest para-athletes in the world. I've had some of the greatest professors in the world on the show. And all of them seem to think the same about little Ella Lincoln. And, you know, I told Ron, I said, we have to have her on the show. Ron agreed. And today it came to apparition. So we're going to have her on the show here in just a moment. You know, Ron, when you look at Ella, you got Langston, you got all these other professors and practitioners of the sport that travel out of their way to go see her compete. What does that say to you as a para fighter, as a practitioner, about the ability of Ella?
Well, I've seen one of her matches. Her mom sent me a video, and I can attest to how intense and amazing she is on the mat. But I look at somebody like Ella, and I know where we're at in para jiu-jitsu throughout the world now, and as it makes an explosion, as people are starting to see the benefits of jiu-jitsu and how it helps you mentally, physically, and emotionally, I know the future's safe in somebody's hands like Ella.
Yes. You know, I have to agree there. You know what? We look at the sport, and as you know, I've been in the sport quite some time, and you see the transitions, but it's great to see that there are new and up-and-coming practitioners and warriors in the sport that are trying to keep the sport defined and the actuality that it was meant to be. And I think Ella is doing that. You know, like I said, from time to time again, we've had guests speak about her. And, you know, they're on here to talk about themselves, and they're talking about Ella. So without further ado, let's welcome Ella Lincoln and her mom to the show. Tracy, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having us on. We're very excited to share a little bit of Ella's story with you all today.
We're excited I'll be honest with you because, you know, they're telling me there's this 11-year-old beast out there. And I was just like, you know, I was amazed. I said, you know what, I got to have her on the show. And I talked to Ron about it. And I've seen a little bit on her. You know, what was it that allowed Ella the passion to, you know, after the amputation to decide, you know, 3 years ago that this was the route that she wanted to take? And as a parent, what allowed you to give her that path in her life?
We have put her in numerous sports. You know, you always want your kid to be active and be in a team sport and just kind of feel what it feels like to be competitive. So we put her in baseball, softball, basketball, tennis, and it's just nothing clicked. And she attends a all-sport limb different camp in the summer, which we just got back from, and it has every sport you can imagine. Well, she passes the gym, and she sees these kids rolling around, and she's like, that looks really cool. Can I go in and try it? I'm like, sure, you can go in and try it. And that's kind of all she wrote. That was 3 years ago, and she has been training at Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky in J-Town here for it'll be 3 years in September. It's given her more confidence in herself, in her abilities, and she just loves it. She really does.
That's tremendous. Ella, you had, you know, your mother just said you had the opportunity to go to camp, Noob Ability. What do you like about going to camp, and what do you feel you learned the most from camp going into, you know, the art of jiu-jitsu or just learning as a para-fighter and being able to be around others like yourself that understand where life truly should be?
Well, my favorite thing about camp is going there and seeing all my friends and the teachers talking about jiu-jitsu and how I learned. And where I go to jiu-jitsu, I go to Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky in J-Town. My favorite thing about it is where all these kids, big and small, there's different classes, And my favorite thing about it is I get to learn more and more about it. And I've been doing it for 3 years, and I'm my belt is a yellow bar, and I have three stripes. Oh no, I think you have three stripes, and I'll be going on soon to my fourth.
That's a tremendous feat already, and in such a short time. What, Ella? What do you like most about jiu-jitsu? How does it make you happy?
Because I just see all these people, and I see all these people, sometimes they don't know how to defend themselves, and when I figured out about it, I didn't understand at first. Until I figured out it was about defending myself, I want to learn it more and more so I can help other people.
I think that's tremendous. You know, Ron, I'm so honored that you were able to get her on the show, and I'm going to toss the mic to you because I know you know her on a much closer aspect than I do, and I kind of want to pull from some of the thoughts that you lead into. But, Ella, you're a tremendous young lady, and I'm honored you're on the show today. But I'm going to toss the mic to Ron, and we'll let him pick up some of the questions, and I'll come back in a second. Ron?
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Thanks, Don. Don, I got to tell you, Sabrina Riesling is the person who introduced me to Ella and her mom first. Sabrina goes to Nobility every year, and she grew up as a young lady, lost her leg to cancer, but was wrestled all through high school. And she is a tough, tough young lady. And then I heard about her through Langston. So Langston, who we just interviewed last week, was talking about, yeah, he goes to these camps and he's met Ella because we're looking in the future of para jiu-jitsu. So I haven't met her yet personally, but I'm looking forward to shaking her hand someday. So, Mom, I got a couple questions for you real quick, and then we'll jump back and forth between you and Ella if that's okay.
Oh, that's perfect. And I have to tell you, Sabrina is Ella's hero. Ella looks up to Sabrina. She is amazing, and she is probably the only female lower limb different athlete she's ever rode with, being a female.
We've got a couple others coming up the ranks as well, Sabrina's. I met her many, many years ago, and have been very good friends with her for a long time. And if Sabrina says somebody's good people, then I know she's good people.
Thank you.
So, Mom, let's go ahead and jump in the story. So most people don't know about Ella yet, but that's going to be changing in the very near future, I think. Can you give us a little bit of the history of how she lost her limb and what you guys is thinking at first was as a family? Like, how did that affect you as a family unit?
Absolutely. Ella was born with diagnosed with amniotic band syndrome. So what that means in short is a rubber band type fluid wrapped around her limb and cut circulation off, which caused it not to form. 8 months old, she had her first reconstructive surgery, hoping to save what we thought was a knee. And unfortunately, the knee would never get more than 10 degrees flexion force. So that was one of the harder decisions we faced was, you know, being an amputee, if you have a knee, it's a lot better than not. So we really struggled with that decision and went to many specialists and finally decided, you know what, she needs to be active. We want her out there, enjoying life, no limitations. So we did it. We have an amazing, amazing prosthetist, Aaron Fitzsimmons with Amputee Blade Runners. And can't tell any difference. She runs, jumps, does everything she's always wanted to do. You know, of course, when she was born, first thing we were devastated. We were like, oh my gosh, she's not going to be able to run. She's not going to be able to do anything the other kids can do. And let me just say that she showed us right off the bat that that's not the case. She has never, ever slowed down. And everybody was like, I don't know what she has, but can you bottle it and sell it? I'm like, I would if I could. It's just one of those things that, you know, you didn't stop her. And we have never treated her or, you know, handled her with kid gloves. If you want to do something, you do it, and you do it to the best of your ability, and don't worry about anybody else. Just be you.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is, I mean, I just can't imagine. We talk about most people that are limb loss in this world are either quite old due to some type of disease, or it's a traumatic accident. Typically, you know, motorcycles or car accidents, industrial accidents. So, as a family.
Yeah.
Having to make that choice for your child at that young of an age, I can't imagine how devastating that was for you.
It was the hardest decision we made, and it took us, like I said, going through specialist after specialist to finally just say, you know, this is what we have to do, and you know, we're making that decision for the rest of her life. There is no going back after that decision was made. So that I think, and she's 11, and the 11 years. That was the toughest.
Yeah.
But she has her running blade. She has her running blade. She's all over the place. She has her, what we call her everyday walking leg that she uses at jujitsu for her running and warm up. But then she rolls without it. And let me just say, that little leg, you don't want it to hit you because it hurts. She puts that little leg on you, you're in trouble.
Yes. We call it stump on belly where I'm at. Professors are
there,
like,
you
stump
go.
On
she,
belly, stump
she,
up,
she
man.
Likes to, yep. She does that when she did it at camp, and this little boy didn't know what happened to him.
Yes. It's terrible to have to tap out for something like that, but my professor Yamasaki is teaching me well. So, Ella, if you've got a second, I'd like to ask you a question as well, if I can.
Of course. You can ask me anything you like.
You're so polite. That is wonderful. I'm very fortunate that you're allowing us to interview so we can share your story with the para world and the world in general. So why jiu-jitsu? What, it sounds like you were given the opportunity to do pretty much any sport you wanted. You were encouraged and guided into being able-bodied as best you can and never held back. Why did you choose jiu-jitsu over, say, softball or track and field?
Well, those other sports, they never understood me. Like, I didn't understand them. Like, I played different sports. My parents said, why don't you try this? I thought it would be my favorite sport. But it never actually involved me doing the things I like to do, like, just, like, doing other stuff. Like I never got to, involved with other different things. Like, they never... Like, they never said, they never showed, like, it was hard. Until one day I went to camp and saw them, and just close to me, I kept saying to my mom, I want you to do this, please, please. And after a while, we just started, and here I am now.
You like to take a girl?
I think it's tremendous.
And
also,
I like to choke people.
Go ahead, Ella.
And you like
to. I like to also. Choke people out.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask you. You know, I've seen quite a few statements out there that I've heard it from other practitioners that you do like to choke people out. What is it about that aspect of the sport? You know, here you are 11 years old, you know, and don't take me wrong, Ella, and or your mom, and I apologize for putting this in this statement, but you know, most 11-year-old girls are out there playing with Barbie or this and that, and here you have an 11-year-old daughter who likes choking people out for a living. You know, first I'll ask you, Stacy, how does it feel being a parent, seeing this type of attribute to your daughter, knowing that she's taken on to a sport and has given it 1,000% of who she is?
I will have to admit, at first, it was really hard for me, one, as a parent of a limb different child, to watch her go up against a mostly male-dominant sport, especially where she goes. And I'm like, oh, this I just had a problem with it. But then Professor Scott looked at me and goes, I've got her, Mom. I've got her. And once he told me that, and I just sit back and let her do her thing, and it just amazed me what she picked up and just how quick she picked things up and how she adapted it differently than the able-bodied athletes. Like, she would figure her own way out to do a move. Her instructors have never worked with an amputee, and they still haven't, besides Ella. But since day one, they have never treated her any differently or expect any less from her than the other students. And I loved that. Because I don't want her to be treated special. I want her to earn that belt and earn those stripes just like everybody else does. And I am so proud of what she's done. And, of course, she chokes the boy out every now and then. That's pretty cool.
Right.
I'm like, that's my girl. That's my daughter right there.
Yes.
Yep, she did that.
You know, Ron, it's kind of reminiscent of the Jay Zamporo story. You know, I love those coaches out there that truly see no different. Because, you know, Ron won't get mad at me for saying this. Even in Ronald's fight to become where he's at today, he was turned down by several gyms in the beginning. And it just goes to show you the way that society is correlated and the way people look at things. I don't know if Ronald's told you or not, but I'm also an amputee myself, and I'm also a practitioner. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, people don't understand. I look at life totally different. And Ella, I hope you understand this. I don't really like the terminology of, you know, I had, who was it? Ron, who was it that, was it Stacy or was it Cole? It was Jay that used the terminology that he was disabled. And I don't like the terminology. I think parafighter is the most tremendous name to use. But, you know, I like to use the word handicapable, you know, because I look at life, there's nothing's going to stop me. You know, the best part of my life came after my limb loss, which Ron already knows. You know, but being such a young child, Ella, being at 11 years old, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I've heard from several practitioners about the ability that you hold. What allows you to turn from that 11-year-old girl to the beast you are on the mat once you get into competition?
I hear a lot of times when I was little, like, oh my gosh, look at that girl, she has a perfect leg. And I heard people say, no, you can't play with us or something. Even a little girl ran away, like, robot girl, robot girl. And that just got me down. And when I saw all those other kids doing jiu-jitsu, I thought they were going to involve me saying that stuff. But they just treated me like anyone else. And so did the coaches, and I was pretty proud of that, and I'm not going to let anyone stop me just because they say mean stuff to me. I'm here today just because of me. No one else told me what to do. I decide what sport I'm going to do, and I choose that, and nothing's going to stop me.
Well, I tell you what, I love Ron.
I told you we had to get her on the show right away because she is a powerful young lady.
Yeah, you know, Langston wasn't lying. He's one of the most that has said the most powerful words about you. Hopefully we might be able to get him to call in here in a minute. And, you know, what does it mean to you, Ella, to have people like Langston in your life and have the others reach out to you and give you guidance on the mat?
He's the best teacher I ever met. Like, he's helped me all this way, and I want to be here today without him and coaching me. And I was very glad he was there at camp, teaching me all the way like any other coach would. But I'm very happy that he's taught me everything that I can do.
That's tremendous, because he feels the same way about you. He said he wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world. You know, Ron, You hear this young, eloquent young lady who's a beast on the mat, because I go by what everybody tells me. They say she's a beast, but yet I get her on the phone, and she's this articulated young lady. Ron, why don't you go ahead and pick up and fill in some more of the voids here, because I'll be quite honest with you, I'm taken back.
Yes, yeah, she's a strong young lady coming up the ranks. Let's go with Ella first. Ella, as you started your jiu-jitsu journey, you're 3 years into it now, and you're working your way up the ranks. So you're experienced in jiu-jitsu. You understand the concepts of it, and you're beginning to get the techniques down. How do you feel, how do you treat somebody who's coming in the academy now, somebody similar to your age, and how do you show them ability by being on the mat with them? How do you, I guess it's hard for me to articulate this, how do you show them that we are equal?
I just see other people doing stuff, and I just believe, hey, I can do that. So what if I have a prosthetic? I can do that. I can do anything that a normal human being can do. And I did, and I'm here today. And if someone wants to do something, don't stop. Don't listen to anyone that says you can't do it just because of that, or you can't do this because you're like that. Don't listen to them. You could be whoever you are. You could choose whatever path you want to be. So don't stop just because someone tells you you can do it. You can.
I think what I like most, just to interrupt here, is whenever a new student comes in, you know, it's they don't know how to take her. But she is just, she will go up to them, hi, I'm Ella, and she will work with them and show them moves. Because at class each night, they switch up partners. So each person gets to work with each person. And she's just, hi, I'm Ella. Okay, let's do this. And if they don't know how to do it, she will work with them and show them how to do the moves. I love to watch her do that when new kids come in.
That is awesome. So, Mom, when you kind of had an idea going into Nobility, so Sabrina and Langston introduced you guys to jiu-jitsu and to grappling arts themselves. But as Don said earlier, I mean, I lost my leg 23 years ago now, right when I was off active duty in the military. And I'd been on the Army Taekwondo team. I didn't have insurance at the time. So, you know, 23 years ago, we were still kind of the shut-in children. People didn't give us the respect and admiration they do today. You didn't see amputees and people with different abilities on commercials or like being portrayed by The Rock in the most recent movie he did.
Movie, I know.
So
even for you, that was 23 years ago. 11 years ago for us, too. You know, Facebook and social media wasn't what it is today. So here we are with this limb different child, and we're like, what do we do? we were kind of just what do we do? And like you said before, prosthetic care has come a long way, but unfortunately, my child is less than 1% of amputees, so they do not invest in child care. And it's really frustrating, and it's really sad, because that's your most active is a child. So we struggled, and that's one of Ella's biggest struggles, was she didn't have the correct prosthetic care here locally. It just didn't exist. This was his one and only amputee child patient, and she was coming out of her prosthetic when she tried to do sports. So she'd get discouraged. She'd feel defeated. And through Camp Nubability, we found our way to Amputee Blade Runners, and Aaron Fitzsimmons is one man, if I could clone, would clone him, because he treats the patient and what they want to do. No two people are the same. Their activities aren't the same. So she was 9 years old when she ran for the very first time. Sorry, I'm going to cry. Very first time at 9 years old, she ran. And that was amazing. To see the look on her face to run and just be able to do that and not fear falling and coming off, her prosthetic coming off, was priceless. And so thanks to them, that also helped us get her into jiu-jitsu. I mean, she just changed, her confidence and positivity just soared once she got that prosthetic care that she needed.
Yes. Ella, so when this may be a little esoteric for you to be able to describe, but we'll give it the best shot. I want other people, like for me, I did MMA for a very long time, but I didn't really find the jiu-jitsu community until about a year and a half ago. And now that I'm here, I've found a home. When I trained MMA, I always had a fighting prosthetic. And for the people listening that don't know about para-jiu-jitsu, we have to take off all adaptive devices when we go to get on the mat and compete. Can you talk a little bit about how that's different for you? For me, I felt that it was very liberating to just and not have to worry about a prosthetic falling off or a new fit or a new device. I would just get on the mat and roll. How does that make you feel when you get out there?
Well, when I get out there, I feel like I can do anything that comes to my mind and no one can tell me what to do. I can do anything I want. And I like to do some things without my leg, like do a lot of things. And the coaches from camp and other coaches helped me, and I came a long way, and I learned some moves by myself. Like, they taught me, like, oh, you put your little leg there and your other leg there. I sometimes don't do that. I just put what I can do, and I try it, and I get used to it, and that's how I do my moves. And I'm grateful to when I first went there. I was kind of worried what they would say, but they treat me like anyone else, and I was very happy, and I just was very glad. I knew I found my sport, and that's right. how I'm here today.
Nice. Don, I know you can't. We're in two different time zones. I know you can't see me, but I'm just grinning from ear to ear. This is one of the most positive people I've ever spoken with.
Right. I mean, here I've been in this business 22 years, almost 23 years, and I'm just taken back because it feels like I'm talking to an old soul in an 11-year-old body, and I'm captivated, to be quite honest with you. You know, I think the parents, I think you guys have done a tremendous job, first and foremost. You know, a lot of people in today's society, they're quick to, you know, just put those types of issues off. Instead, you instilled values in Noah, and you've created this, you know, and I'm not going to continue to say it because, you know, this is what I've heard from practitioner after practitioner. She's a little beast, but, you know, what does it mean for you and your husband to sit back and watch her on the mat? How proud does that make you to see that your daughter at such a young age doesn't give excuses in life?
We went into jiu-jitsu just, you know, okay, let's see how she does and how she likes it. And just watching her excel and just work and work and work. But we never pushed her to compete. We were waiting for her to decide that, you know what, I think I want to do that. We were just, we loved the art of jiu-jitsu and what it instilled in her. And this past April was her very first competition, and I couldn't have been prouder to watch her go against people that she's never met. And she didn't quit. She didn't give up. She might not have won, but she was happy, and I just was bursting. My husband and I were both just so proud of her for just going out there and just doing it.
Yeah. It's got to be a tremendous feeling because I know, I'll be honest with you, when I first lost my leg, we had some issues in life, and I don't want to talk about that on today's show. But I went into therapy, and I went into therapy with a triathlete, and I was already feeling, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do this. And, you know, I had a buddy tell me, you know what, you can do this. You can do anything you want to. So I went into rehab and therapy with this triathlete, and I was already walking up steps and doing different things, and he couldn't even go from side to side. So that gave me the encouragement to realize that it's not your athletic ability, it's not the shell, it's your heart. And you can
exactly,
see in Ella
exactly.
that her heart is tremendous, and it's going to be, you know, a great attribute to the sport. You know, Ella, I got to ask you a question because I know you love to choke people out. But other than choking people out, what would you say is your favorite transition, your favorite move, or your favorite submission?
Well, that's the easiest thing in the world. I like to do the triangle.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'd be schooled by an
11-year-old.
Oh, is it about the triangle that you like, Ella?
Well, I like to use my little leg, and I like to also see them be choked out by me.
I don't mean to laugh. I apologize. It's just that, you know, I understand the mentality of all these other professors and practitioners have said about you. Now, Ella, you can tell that the mat is truly your home. You can tell that you truly love jiu-jitsu. You know, you're 11 years old, and you could be out doing anything else in the world. You know, you could go and you could play, you know, have, you know, fun time with your friends. You could go and do anything you want, because I don't think there's anything in this world that can stop you from doing what you want to do. You know, at the end of the day, though, what is it about jiu-jitsu that just inspires you so much? And where do you want to end up as you grow older in the art of jiu-jitsu?
I just like to just try my best and to do what I need to do. And I'm just very glad that I'm still doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you are too. You know, you're a tremendous attribute to the sport and the art itself. You know, there's a lot of able-bodied practitioners that don't even have half the heart or knowledge that you do at 11 years old, and it's kind of blowing me away. You know, Mom, when you look at the knowledge that your daughter ascertains at 11 years old, you know, most of that hasn't, you know, some of it's come from the art of jiu-jitsu, but not all of it has. What do you think in the development of, and where Ella is at now, has allowed her to be so articulated?
Well, I'm going to put my papa on the phone to answer that.
Ronald, this is Kevin Lincoln. I'm Ella's father.
Kevin, it's good to talk to you, my friend.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Yes, I actually just walked in the room and just got home from work. It's an interesting, I don't know if you guys have talked about how she got into it, but it's something that when she initially saw it, because I'd thrown everything at her sports-wise, just to really more to get her socialized, because with what was going on with her prosthetic and being the parent of a child who had a recent amputation, I was surprised initially about her level of activity and then her drive, I think would be an understatement. And when we went to Camp Nobility, she just gravitated toward wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And I think something that she has a hard time articulating, but it really comes down to it, is the speed and the physicality, but more it's the solving of problems, the processing, because she's always been the kind of child who would like to break things down and figure out how they work. And I think the discipline really lends itself to her skill set, and kids like her because it's very quick problem solving. It's a chess mat on the mat. And I think that's what really – now, she wouldn't necessarily say that. I think she just views it right now as fun. But her mind, A, has to be constantly working. It always involves constant activity, pressure. That's really what drew her to it, the uniqueness of – especially when she got into class, of her being – the only kid, and it's the first time of all the things that she's done, whether it's running or playing basketball or baseball, where I really believe that she felt that, not that she's ever felt that she had a disability, but it's always been that, all right, I've had issues because maybe I'm not as fast as this child, or I can't cut or jump as high. And part of that was the prosthetic, but more to the point, with jiu-jitsu, she, to a degree, in certain situations, has an advantage because you can't trap her leg. And I think that You know, the first time she ever did it in class and was able to mimic a move and it worked, and she realized, hey, wait a minute, I'm, for lack of a better word, winning. I'm putting what I just saw into practice and it's working. It gave her gratification, but I really believe, especially after her first tournament, even with the loss, I didn't see disappointment. I saw, let me get back out there. So she really, really has embraced that part of the discipline. And it's really instilled more than anything pride in her. She's very proud of her ability to get out there and do it.
Now, let me ask you, sir, you know, like I asked your wife, you know, seeing your daughter accomplish these goals, seeing your daughter get to the level that she's at, how did it inspire you as a father, seeing your daughter overcome these obstacles and not even look at it as an obstacle, and at the same time excel and become a very articulated young lady like she has?
I think that the best way I can describe it's her mom's job to, and her grandmother's job, pat her on the back and tell her, good, way to go. From the time she was born, we've always been focused on, let's get her walking, let's get her do this. So I've always, good or bad, I've always tried to make sure that her effort level was there so she could know that she could do that. It's not about putting her in a situation and saying, hey, you were able to do this. I want her to feel that accomplishment. And the more that I watch her, it's your child. So you're always going to look at her kind of with rose-colored glasses, I guess you could say. And I've never, after watching her roll around in a spica cast for 3 months, I've never looked at her and gave, she doesn't get that excuse in this house. She doesn't get that excuse from the people that we've surrounded her with, being Drew and Scott at Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and even at Camp Numbability. They, it's not a feel-good thing. It's not about I can't. It's about you put in the effort and you see the result. And to watch her do that and kind of persevere through injury and persevere through the pain, it gives you a unique perspective on what you go through. And I don't want to say that it's, I guess it's cliche, but, you know, the problems that I have are definitely lessened by watching her, because I know that if she can do what she does, I have no excuse. And also, it makes just watching the way that she problem solves and the way that she approaches things, it gives me a completely new perspective on the way I might do something or the way I might approach something. It really, watching your daughter do something, watching your child do something is unique in of itself. But watching my child do something, when I honestly would go, well, she's not going to be able to do that. And I'm guilty of it just like anyone else. There have been times that I have doubted, would she be able to do this? Would she be able to accomplish this? And she continually proves myself wrong. And I think anyone else out there that might say, well, maybe she doesn't belong in this, she says, I'm going to do it, and she does it. And I think that is the most important thing that I take away from day-to-day life with her. Now, of course, there's the other hand that even when I say you can't do this for a reason of safety or time, she's still going to do it. So that can cause some conflict. But I think the main thing, not just with the leg or the ADHD or any of the challenges that she's had, we've always made a point of saying, I don't ever want to take that spirit of go away from her, because this is always the most important thing she has is her will and her drive. And that's going to serve her as she gets older. It's going to do nothing but benefit her.
Well, that was one of the things that I was thinking about. You know, I get to help coach some of our kids here in Washington, D.C. in Yamasaki Academy, and you see the parents coming up behind them. I watched Ella in that first fight that she had, and the raw determination in her eyes. I have to warn you guys, both you and Tracy might want to get into jiu-jitsu yourself, because Ella's going to be asking for the car keys pretty soon, and it won't be a question.
Oh, I understand that. And the funny thing you say about that, and this is what you're not the first person I've heard that from, because I had the same reaction. My fear going into that was she is a kid who is in perpetual motion. So class for her has always been very difficult. I was really worried that she wasn't absorbing all the information. She wasn't executing the moves right, or that what she was doing wasn't going to suit her on the mat. And what I didn't take into account was that sheer drive. And once she got on the mat and she really went after it the way she did, and more importantly, after it was over, how she was ready, you know, is that it? Do I have another match? When's my next match? And after the third match, to have tears in her eyes because she didn't get to do another match, I was blown away. Because it's not something that I necessarily picked up on, because when you're kind of in the weeds and I'm like, Ella, you're not executing the arm bar correctly, or you need to roll this way, you know, I'm not thinking once she gets out there, especially at that age, it's really about it's about technique, don't get me wrong, but the effort that she would put into it. And now that I know she can do it, that I try to get to stress to her, if you do that all the time, you're going to continue to grow leaps and bounds with this.
Yes, yeah, I see her coming up, and like I said earlier, she's going to be a good caretaker of the sport, as some of us older gentlemen, Don, and I get out of competition, and she carries the torch for us. Ella, I've got a question for you. Are you still there?
No, she's here.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm a left below knee amputee, and so I have about 6 centimeters past my knee. And you're talking about the triangle is your favorite submission. So I'm running this over my head, and it popped up in my head real quick. One of my favorite fighters out here, Alyssa Anderson. She fights out of Team Scorpion Fighting System up in Michigan. And Don got to see her this last weekend. He was invited to photo shoot Invicta, and Alyssa hit a flying triangle on a girl and choked her completely unconscious. So this, I think I listened to Ella, and I see that same determination, that same drive, that same passion in her. Ella, can you talk to us a little bit about how you're able to hit a triangle? Because you are an above knee, so how do you hook that down, and how do you lock a triangle in?
Well, I use double arms, and first I put my leg around her neck, put my little leg up, and use both of my hands, push my leg down, ankle down, choke them, and they tap.
So, Mom and Dad, the question comes full circle here. How did you guys choose Gracie Jiu-Jitsu? And just like most of us that are para fighters, we're the first ones doing this. This is the first generation coming out here. How did they accept you in the academy?
Well, initially, when we went to camp, it was the first year. This is Camp Nubability in Illinois. Like I said, she just gravitated toward wrestling. And when I brought her home, the school she's going to doesn't have they didn't have a wrestling team. But I watch a considerable amount of boxing and MMA. Being from Louisville, Muhammad Ali, you kind of grow up on that stuff. And she would sit there and watch it with me. And Ronda Rousey, I think, was an inspiration for her, just seeing another woman doing that and getting pressed for it. so we began to look into, I initially started with Krav Maga, and then I was watching, you know, watching MMA, and I thought maybe jiu-jitsu, and because I had seen a, and I don't recall his name, but he had a, he was a below the elbow amputee, and she kind of pepped up when she saw that. So I'd spoken to my brother, who one of his friends is a practitioner, and he had recommended Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky, and when we went out there, we realized that it, because initially it was just about protection and kind of their training was bullyproof for kids. And she got into that and really enjoyed it, and then they started a competition class. And I just wanted her to try it, and I think she was apprehensive at first, but it was more to, just so she could get an extended rolling time, because that was the thing she loved, just to roll. That's all she wanted to do. And then it kind of became where once she got over the – because the first class, she got choked, she cried, and she kind of stopped, of course, and she was surprised, because it was a completely different class. And then we took her back the second time, and she choked somebody out, and she liked it. So she wanted to keep going. And then Drew had asked us, you know, the way he structured it was, there's going to be kids who like it and kids who don't. And the more serious it got, the more intense it got, she just kind of stuck with it. She would go there. You know, we'd have it every Sunday, and it was a lot. I would say that it was never difficult to get her to go to class. But for a kid the way Ella is, sitting there for 10 minutes trying to absorb a move as opposed to 45 minutes of rolling in the competition class, you could see that it was much easier for her to go to that class. So from there, the competition came up, she did it, and you kind of saw the result. It was really an eye-opener for me. And I think that translated, and we really saw the progression, I think, the second year at camp after a year of training, where she was much more involved and much more willing to get out there with the wrestlers and kind of roll around. And it's really progressed since then. You know, unfortunately, she was in the hospital for a week or so, and she's kind of been on the shelf for about 2 months. And we just went to camp recently, and she's just at camp. She rolled around. She learned some new maneuvers, and we're going to start back Tuesday and then get back into competition class. And I think she, once we get her back into it, she'll show the same enthusiasm that she had, because she, you could see her starting to come back this week at camp.
Nice. Yeah. I saw a picture, Ella, of you beating up on Langston. I think you were dropping bombs on him from behind. And Langston and I are actually going to be roommates in Los Angeles this year for the World Para Qualifier in Los Angeles. And I'm going to give him unlimited grief for that one.
He said that when you choked out Boogie, he's going to be Boogie's roommate in Las Vegas.
Oh, I love it. You know, I'd like to ask Ella one more question, if we could, before we kind of wrap things up here. You know, if that'd be possible.
Absolutely.
Ella, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Oh, my name is Don. You don't have to call me sir. You know, Ella, I look back at a good friend of mine by the name of Nick Noel, who is, he was born with a, you know, partially missing some of his left arm below the elbow. And a lot of people said he couldn't compete in the sport. And now he's got the opportunity to fight in the MMA aspect in the UFC. You know, so when you look at people like that, it's pride, passion, and perseverance that help us overcome, you know, different aspects. Where do you see yourself, Ella, in the sport 3 years from now, 4 years from now? Do you plan on continuing until you get world status, until you win gold in the sport of jiu-jitsu?
Yes, I do. I see myself doing stuff and people looking up to me and trying my best. Just because I hear this line every time, just because you can't do something doesn't mean you can't do it. Don't tell anyone or no one that they can't do something just because they're different and they're not like you. Just because they're different doesn't mean they can't do anything. But now, if you see them later, you'll figure out that you're wrong. They can.
Yes, and you said that so tremendously. You know, Ella, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to make you pick a favorite person in the sport, whether it be in the para world or in the regular world. What fighter most inspires you to continue to strive for greatness, my friend?
Well, the one that inspires me most is Langston. I see him battling out there, trying his best to do whatever he can. And I see him out there wrestling, doing jiu-jitsu. I just look up to him, and I was like, I can do that. One day, I will be just like him.
You know, Ron, I got to tell you, you know, Ella, you're tremendous. You have absolutely stole my heart as a young practitioner in the art of jiu-jitsu. Your enthusiasm, the love for the art is tremendous. You know, Ron, I'm gonna hand the mic to you, let you ask Ella one or two more questions, and then we'll go ahead and wrap things up with the parents. But the floor is yours, Ron.
All right, that sounds like a plan, Don. Thank you, Ella. Like, yeah, just like Don said, like your passion that you have for this sport. I have not met you yet, but I can't wait to be able to meet you and shake your hand. Like, you inspire me to go to higher heights. I see you being one of the leaders of the next generation of para jiu-jitsu, and I think we're very fortunate that you're in this sport. So as we go along, as jiu-jitsu and para jiu-jitsu develops here in America, we'd like to see you coming up with us and leading for the next generation. What is your ideas for para jiu-jitsu? And as you get a little bit older now, you're already 11, you know, you're pretty soon going to be a teenager, and then you're going on after that. Where do you see para jiu-jitsu versus jiu-jitsu today, and how is that going to help kids for the next generation?
Well, I see me helping other kids that are different, and just because they can, someone says they can't, they can do it. I'll be teaching them all the way, and I'll be doing my best to look up and try my best so I can teach different kids what I can do, and they can learn that they can do it no matter what.
Ella, I think we're lucky that you're going to be teaching the next generation for us.
Right? Ella, I got to tell you, honestly, you're probably one of my most favorite interviews. I've been doing radio for 14 years. I've interviewed world champions in boxing, MMA, jiu-jitsu. I've interviewed some of the greatest professors that ever stepped on the mat. And Ella, I got to tell you, you're the most inspiring practitioner that I've ever had on my show. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend. You truly have a love and an admiration for something, not just on the mat, but in life. And God put you here for a reason with great intent. You have two tremendous parents that have given you this path to walk on. But you're proving to the world that, like Ron said, you're going to be the future of para jiu-jitsu or any aspect of the sport. You know, it was a true honor for me to have you on the show today. You truly are one of my favorite interviews thus far. I mean, the way you come across for an 11-year-old young lady is tremendous, and that's a great big kudos to your parents. But on this final thought for me, and then I'll let Ron finish things up here, what does it mean for you to be able to go on the mat and have those great moments, and after you compete, when you sit back and you think about what you've done, what do you take away from those moments, Ella?
I take away the moment where someone says, I can do it just because you're different. Oh, you can do it. You can't. Oh, poor thing. You can't do this. I'm sorry. I just, those things fade away because I get on the mats and I see in my head, you can do this. Don't tell anyone. And if someone says that, well, they're just seeing them themselves like they're just wrong. You can do whatever you want that comes to your mind. And today, I'm here just because of this. I'm glad I'm here today. I will help other kids that are just like me or different just because. I will help any kid that will need my help one day. And I will be there through the whole way.
You know, I truly am honored to be able to have interviewed you. Ron, I'm going to toss the mic to you and say your farewells to Ella, and then we'll get her parents on and we'll wrap things up. Ella, thank you for coming on my show. I'm going to let Ron talk to you for a second, but thank you for blessing my show.
No problem. Thank you.
Ella, I want to echo Don's sentiment there. Like, this is, he says, every week he says, this is the most inspiring story I've heard, and as a parafighter. And he continues to say that. We continue to get great people on the show. But I truly believe he means it this time. You are just such a powerful young lady and a force to be reckoned with. So I really appreciate you coming on with us today. I want to say it's an honor for me to meet you, and I look forward to rolling with you someday. I hope you won't choke me out too hard.
Right.
You too.
Oh, now, if we get Pops back on real quick, that'd be tremendous. Thank you so much, Ella. Dad,
well,
you there?
I'm very glad that you were on this show, and I'm very happy. So thank you.
Oh, the honor was all mine. I appreciate it. I can't wait to meet you, my friend. You really have brightened up my day, and you showed me a lot more than what I even understood, because I'm an amputee myself, so you allowed me to see a brighter light than I saw before, Ella. You keep sharing who you are, and you keep being who you are. You're a tremendous young lady, my friend, Os.
Thank you very much. I hope to meet you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Dad, are you on?
Yes.
Okay. Ron, go ahead and pick up from here, and we'll wrap things up, because I know you got to get before
Certainly.
Professor Yamasaki chews you out.
you know the routine. This is a weekly story for us. So, Dad, let's go ahead and wrap this up, and so we can get moving ourselves. Do you have anybody that you'd like to call out? This is – Don built this show, The Fighter's Voice, for the fighters. And Ella – is one of the faces coming up in this sport. Do you have anybody that you'd like to talk about, to call out, any of your supporters, sponsors? Go ahead and take the floor.
Well, I really, a lot of this is owed to Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky. One, their unique approach of telling me to sit down and be quiet and let my daughter do what she needs to do. It's difficult sometimes. You know, you walk a fine line because you're always trying to protect her. And she's in great hands with Scott and Drew. She really is. And really, I think we owe a great deal to Camp Nubability, ABR, Nick Palmer, Harry Langston, Keith. For those guys kind of fostering this and, you know, allowing her to be who she is on the mat, because a lot of what she does, I don't know if she articulated it well, but one of the things you'll see with her, it honestly surprises her that when she sees an amputee that they don't do jiu-jitsu. She has that assumption. And if you see her with younger kids on the mat, even, you know, able-bodied kids, because that's mostly what she deals with, except when she goes to camp. even if it's wrong, she wants to teach. I think that that's something ingrained in her. She has a very kind heart that where she wants to show what she's learned, albeit while she's wrenching your arm, but she's going to explain it to you. And I think that that's one of the reasons that a lot of people are drawn to her is her openness. And I really have to credit the guys at Camp Nubability and Sam and Jana for starting that organization, and Aaron and ABR, and of course Langston. You know, Langston, and like I said before, Langston, Nick, Harry, and Keith really have, every time that she's gone into a class or their tournament, I always send them their videos and they critique them. And they're spread throughout the country, and Harry's in England. And they're always excited and very complimentary. And, they also have their criticism, and that it's very constructive. And I believe that it's important for her to continue those relationships, because those are her heroes. These are the guys that are like her, that do what she does. And it's a mirror for her. And I think the other person that I need to thank is Stephanie Decker, who gave us our original scholarship 4 or 5 years ago to go to that camp. Those are the people that are hero in my daughter's life. And I'll never be able to thank them or repay them for what they've done. I hope the person that she's becoming, and especially in this sport, I just hope, for me, it was about protection. And I see it growing as a sense of pride for her, a purpose, especially with her being an amputee. And to watch that now and see that sport's growing, and to be able to have almost a mentor for her and a person that we consider family in Langston, to be somebody that's going to be there, I would hope, throughout her time while she's doing this.
Most definitely. Ronald, you go ahead. I know you got to run, brother. I don't want you to get in trouble. I'll go ahead and finish up the show here real quick. You go do what you got to do, my friend.
Okay, I appreciate it, Don. Ella and Mom and Dad, thank you so much for coming on the show. You really inspired me, and I'm sure you inspired many, many people out there that are listening to our show tonight.
Well, thank you, Ron. I really appreciate it. And I know we've talked a few times, and we're looking forward to you, either hitting us up in Kentucky or finding you somewhere on the East Coast so we can get together.
We'll make that happen.
We'll talk to you later, Ron. I know I don't want
Thanks.
Professor mad at you, so we'll let you get. Sir, I just really want to thank you and your wife for the opportunity of allowing, me and Ronald to share your daughter with the world. We created Parafighter, as we're both parafighters ourselves in life. Never did we ever surmise that we would have such an articulated young lady, very well spoken, come on our show and pretty much amaze us and teach us things about life. So, I look at life as the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So obviously you and your wife have been a tremendous aspect in the growth of your daughter. As parents, and I kind of asked your wife earlier, on this final question of the interview, as parents, how does it make you feel knowing that you are showing your daughter the absolute right path in life, but you're also gaining knowledge and seeing the growth in your daughter?
Well, I think that she's opposite of me in a certain way, because when you have a daughter, of course, when she was born, I immediately went to, she's 13 years old, she's going to date, and I can't let that happen. And then we find out that, at birth, that she's got a leg deformity. I kind of closed ranks. You know, my job was to protect her. And the more that she's so outgoing, she's so inviting that you kind of got to strip that away. I see now, especially with what you guys are doing, Nubability, ABR, starting out, we didn't see amputees in women. She's a, you know, she had never met another child like her until we went to Nashville, or I'm sorry, until we went to Illinois for the camp. And I think the most important thing that I see with her is the avenue that it opens up, not necessarily for us or even for her. It's more important that she's on your show now, and there may be one child, and I know this is cliche, but for a parent, there may be a child or a parent of a child who doesn't know just the basics, doesn't know anything, and you're struggling with this when they're born. And if they don't have to, if it doesn't take years for them to find out, and they don't want to hold their child back, not because they're scared or they don't think that they can do it. It's just a natural feeling that, you know, my child has an amputation. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want her to endure more pain. And I think she proves that you have got to let these kids do what they're going to do and be who they're going to be. And the avenue that you guys are offering is a voice for kids like her, a voice for adults like you who say, you may not know, but we're going to share that knowledge with you. And at the very least, take 1 second to listen to it, and it could change your life. And it did for her. Just watching with her will, she wasn't going to be deterred. And that forced me to say, you know what, you can do this, and you are going to do this, and we're going to go to Illinois. We're going to go to Nashville. And I don't know if she wasn't of the will that she is, if she didn't – she's a perpetually happy child. She's very friendly. She gets that from her mother. If she didn't have that – I'm a morose individual. I'm a lot more serious than she is, and she doesn't necessarily allow me to. But if that wasn't her, I don't know exactly she would be in the position she's in. The real credit is due to her. The real credit is due to the people that she's touched that give back to her. And this opportunity, I pray that at some point, a parent or a child is going to hear this and go, my child can do this. Or a child will go, hey, I can do this. Because there are girls exactly her age with her disability that may never in a million years think about doing what she's doing. And she'll tell them, she'll call them, she'll talk to them, you know, whatever means she needs, she wants to get that message out. And I think that's her main goal is, she loves to prove people wrong. She does it to me every day, whether I wanted to or not.
I love that. You know, it's kind of unique what we've developed here because, you know, I've been in combat sports for almost 23 years now. I was inducted in the Hall of Fame before I lost my leg for what I do in photography. And after I lost my leg, I sat there, was feeling sorry for myself, and didn't know where to go with the aspect of who I was. But I will tell you this: you can offer me $20 million and an opportunity to have my leg back. You can offer me any amount of money and the opportunity to have my leg back, and I wouldn't take it. I didn't understand until after I lost my limb, and I tell you what, I became a better person. And I appreciate my life, and I have more passion after I lost my limb now than I ever had in my life. You know, some of my greatest work came after the loss of my limb. And, you know, last week we had a young gentleman on by the name of Philip Rawson who came on the show, and he's a different aspect as a parafighter. He has autism, But, you know, the show is here not just for the great parafighters of the sport, because they're all great practitioners. The show is here to share the voice of all fighters. It's to share the story of the young, the old. It's to get the story out there. You know, Ronald didn't have an opportunity to bring it up on the show, but September 8th, for the first time ever in an American promotion, we've got para categories open to para fighters. Now, this was on the dealing of on Gracie Humada, who I'm under with J.W. Wright, and they allowed this to happen. I had been pushing for this for years, and to finally see it come to apparition in September is truly a stepping stone for para fighters across the world. You know, it was truly an opportunity that I never thought I would ever see anytime soon. But this show helped get it there, because the stories of people like Ella and Philip and all the others that we've had on the show has just been tremendous. The public is loving it. So I'd encourage you, you know, if you look up on Facebook, there's a page called Parafighter. Every now and then, share a story about Ella. You know, share a story of triumph or, you know, tribulation, however you want to share it. But that's what the page is there for. You know, the page is there so the world can recognize that even though we may be missing a limb, or we may be autistic, or we may be different or born with a deformity, that we're no less of a warrior than they are. And so we deserve the right to be heard. And that's why I created that page. On that note, I really want to thank you and your wife and Ella for coming on the show today. It truly has been a tremendous opportunity for me. I will tell you this, and I was being honest earlier when I said that I've interviewed some of the greatest in the world. Yesterday, I shot Professor Alexander Huddleston from Gracie in a seminar. And I'll tell you what, I'm more inspired by these parafighters than I am shooting and interviewing some of the greatest professors that have ever stepped on the mat. Ella has truly stole my heart today. I mean, to hear a young lady to be so articulate and want to give back to the sport that she loves so much, like I said, truly reflects back on you and your wife. And it was truly an honor for me to have all of you on the show today. I look forward to having you guys back on in the near and distant future. Until then, it's been truly a blessing for me, sir.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's one thing that she doesn't lack is kind of the gift of gab. She likes to talk about things she's passionate about, and it's something that it's sometimes it's very difficult for her to articulate. But I think she does it in a sense that it's enthusiasm, and it's caring, and that's her gift. So she has the ability to really show that. There's nothing. She's 11. And she's a ball of fire, and it's if you see her, just know that's authentic. You know, it's what she loves. Trust me, I could not force her to do something she did not want to do, and God knows I've tried.
I see you there. You know, it truly was an honor for you guys to share your story. Honestly, this will go down so far as probably one of the best shows I've ever done, and I've been doing radio for 14 years. Just the way she correlated herself on today's show is just, it tugged at my heart, because you see the heart of a champion. You hear the words of a very kindred old soul in such a young body, and that's a tremendous attribute to who she is. And I'm honored that you guys allowed this show to happen today. On that note, I truly want to thank you guys. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I'm honored, Ella. You rock. You truly do.
Well, thank you.
But on that note, I want to thank you guys for joining the show. And until next time, I appreciate you, my friends. And hopefully next time we'll get Langston on the show with you.
You too.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was little Ella Lincoln. I tell you what, wow, I was blown away. You know, her parents are tremendous, but to hear the young lady correlate her thoughts and speak about her love of the art of jiu-jitsu is tremendous. You You know, a lot of people that are able-bodied don't even have half the determination or preservation that she does. And, you know, that's one thing I love about life is pride, passion, and perseverance. And you could see that so much in Ella. And I thank you, Langston, because you truly have opened my eyes and the world's eyes that everybody has a voice. And Ella was very articulated, and her parents were tremendous in that aspect and made for one heck of a show. Go to Facebook, follow Parafighter, or you can follow me, Don McGuire, on Facebook, or Ronald Mann, and we'll continue to share the story. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, Jacob Sisteran, Juan Ramirez with Cutman for Hire, Joe Rice with BiteMeMouthGuards.com, one of the best mouthguards in the business. Four tremendous sponsors giving our show and giving our fighters and everybody a voice, and what more can you ask than that? On that note, I'm going to leave the show today with a little bit of music. A young gentleman that I had on my show yesterday, truly amazing, amazing young talent coming up. He's my next music prodigy. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
Spreading my hits through Cali all the way to New York. You'll never let it go.